Welcome to Sunday morning. We're about to go into worship, so you can stand up with us as we sing.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, welcome this morning. How many of you woke up to some rain? I thought the sky was falling, but praise the Lord for the rain. And it's just an exciting time to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Exciting time to have our kids with us. It's always great on a fifth Sunday to have them worship with us. Let's just pray. And as the rain has fallen outside, let's just pray that the Spirit rains down this morning. Amen. Lord, we thank you, God, for your presence. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your family. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house and to worship you this morning. God, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us this morning. God, rain down your love. And Lord, we just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I think fasting's awesome. I mean, where else can you combine spirituality and dieting all in the same way? I mean, it gets a bad rap, pound for pound, it does. You know, people think it's for monks or supermodels and stuff like that. But I'm here to tell you, it's for everybody. Last summer, I had a 20-year reunion / barbecue / swim party to go to, and I'd done but had to drop about 85 pounds. So thanks to fasting, what has two thumbs and look good in a swimsuit? This guy. Thank you, Jesus.
Fasting, Yeah. I mean, I think it's great to skip a meal or two so you can hear God's voice better, you know, stay plugged into him.
Yeah.
You know, some people fast from phones and music and gadgets.
What? That's not a sacrifice. That's not even biblical. I mean, that's crazy talk, you know? I mean, God gave us this stuff so we could stay plugged into him, maximize our lives.
It also keeps us busy enough to never be still or quiet.
Are you even a Christian?
I dare you to fast from your phone for 1 minute.
Fine. Minute. You got it. No biggie. I don't care. I probably should take that.
I fast. Okay, that's a total lie. I don't even fast at all. Okay, I want to. Another lie. Don't even think about it. Deal is, I'm hypoglycemic and diabetic, and that's not even close to the truth at all, okay? Hey, even the Bible says, he who hopes dies fasting, right? Right? Okay, Benjamin Franklin said that right before he died. Bottom line, fasting makes me hungry.
Are we almost done?
Hello, I'm Brett Johansson, and I believe that fasting is one of the greatest spiritual disciplines one can achieve in their faith. When my family or friends invite me to go to lunch, I gently remind them and passive-aggressively admonish them by reminding them, did you not get my fasting notification email? Oh, that I had the luxury to eat lunch like you do. Every year around Easter, I go through a 40-day fast to heighten my sensation of the Easter holiday. This year, however, I've decided to tack on 10 extra days. So by the time we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, I will have been fasting for 50 whole days. If I survive.
In my fast, I have a very rigid schedule. And if you do not have a rigid schedule, then God does not approve. Some people like to cheat, and they drink flavored waters and juices within the fast. You must be drinking unfiltered well water. And if you do not drink unfiltered well water, God does not approve. In the afternoon, I put a cone of silence around me. I do not talk to anyone. Yes, that does annoy people. Yes, it does anger my coworkers. I am persecuted within my fast. And if you are not persecuted within the fast, God does not approve. When I get home, I go straight to my prayer closet. I do not talk to my wife. I do not play with the kids. I let them fend for themselves. And if the kids do not fend for themselves and the wife does not get talked to, God does not approve.
You know what? I'm going to ask nice one more time, and then I am not in control of what happens, okay? So give me the phone. Okay, fine. I need the phone. I need to call.
And with that, I'd like to announce that our fast begins tomorrow. How many of you are a legalist? Come on, come on. How many of you live with a legalist? All right, somebody, yeah, yeah. How many of you are, I didn't say liar. I wasn't asking, do not raise your hand if you're a liar, all right? All right. How many of you thought it was kind of funny until it got to something you could relate to, right? You're like, well, that's a little offensive, right? All right. No, we just want to encourage you in a humorous way. We start our 30-day all-church fast tomorrow, and that fast can look in a lot of different ways. Maybe you're going to fast a certain thing. Maybe you're big and you love the big gulps. Maybe you're hitting Sonic. Maybe we might put Sonic out of business in the next 30 days simply based upon the soda consumption of Noble Assembly of God. I don't know. But maybe you're going to skip soda. Maybe you're going to skip sweets. How many have sweet tooths? Come on now. Come on. Is there any other? Okay. Maybe you're going to do a Daniel fast, or maybe you're going to do a meal a day or a certain time of the day or whatever it may be. Maybe you're going to try to endeavor to do what this gentleman on the video couldn't do and fast social media or the use of your phone or whatever it may be. But here's the thing, is that fasting isn't so much about all those elements, but it's about a heart issue. I'm going to just tell you right now, I'm going to give you permission. Pastor Steve's not here, so it means I'm in charge. All right. And I am going to give you permission to not fast if it causes your heart to turn away from the Lord, if it causes you to turn away from your family, or to cause you to live a more unholy life, live unholy, then don't do it, all right? Because fasting, the key to fasting is draw you closer to the Lord. And so my challenge to you is that each of us would, in our own way, in our own ability, in our own timing, in our own schedule, in our own life. I'm not, Pastor and I aren't going to ask you, what are you fasting, or when are you fasting, or how much are you fasting? But we are going to encourage you when we meet in this sanctuary as a family to fast. And so this is between you and the Lord, but I believe that God's going to reward us if we will unite together and in our own ways fast. And so I encourage you to do that. And if you haven't already, I've been seeking the Lord on what I should do this time. I change it up a little bit each time, and I would just challenge you to do so also. We want to welcome any of you who are visiting today. If you're a visitor, we want to say, first of all, thanks for coming to Noble Assembly of God. And if you are feeling left out because you don't have a Love Has No Limits shirt, don't feel bad. That just means you didn't go on the missions trip to Denver, but you're going to get to hear from us a little later. But if you're a visitor today and you haven't gotten a card already, there's a card in the seat back in front of you. And if you would take that card, fill it out, place it in the offering bag that's going to pass in just a little bit, gives us a record of your attendance, helps us to know you came to visit with us. And we want to say once again, welcome. We're so happy that you are here. Want to say again, welcome, kiddos. Welcome. Glad you're here. Where you at, kiddos? Wave at me. If you're there, you go. I see you, Levi. I see you, Lily. Daisy. Oh, hey, Ava. I only saw your head. The rest of you is hiding somewhere. All right. We got you Velasquez kids in here. Oh, there he is. There's his head. Oh, there we go. Glad to have you kids in here. I see your Pastor Chad. Pastor Chad's one of the kids, too. We put him in the sound booth, though. We don't let him out in amongst the people. So we keep him locked in there on Fifth Sundays. Anyway, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Want to point to an event that's happening on August 13th, Saturday, at Crossroads Church at 1 p.m. is our Girls Ministry Honor Star graduates and Friends Club graduates. And so you can see the names of the young ladies who are graduating from Friends Club and Honor Star. And maybe you can't make it there. You can still get a card or just give them a hug and congratulate them. They have to do a lot of study, a lot of preparation. And Miss Cherry right there, we're going to embarrass Miss Cherry. Miss Cherry works really hard with these young ladies and helps them to achieve these awards and these merits. And so we just want to say congratulations to these young ladies and encourage you, if you can't make it on that Saturday, to at least tell these kids congratulations. Want to continue to push forward on the project for Chi Alpha. You know, we're working on buying them a truck. And so if you have been praying about that, the Lord's leading you to give towards that, just make sure that you wrote right on the envelope, OU truck, and we'll know that goes towards that. And then last but not least, Connect Groups is coming up. We'll have some more information in the next few weeks. And we're excited about that as we get into the school year. How many of you know that school is right around the corner? As in 10 days from now is when school starts. 10 days, people. 10 days. How many of you moms are not that upset about that right now? You're like, you know what? Like, they need to go to school. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the sanctity and the sanity and the just for our family to stay together, my children need to go to school. All right, there you go. Yeah. Well, it's really weird. My wife tried to sign me up. I was like, I can't go to school, babe. So she tried to pay them and everything. So anyway, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we receive the tithe and offering this morning. Man, yeah, amen. Let's give a hand clap for that. Amen, amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Want to say that we're glad the kids had a wonderful time at kids camp. And they all made it back safe. And if you've been watching on Facebook, there's lots and lots of pictures. And I know they had a tremendous time. Thank you, Pastor Chad, Miss Amanda, and all the leaders who took the kids to kids camp. And I know they had a wonderful time. Well, let's pray over the tithe and offering this morning as we move forward. Lord, we thank you once again for all that you're doing in this place. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing and your hand of blessing. And Lord, we pray right now that you would just put your hand upon all that's given, multiply it, so that those who don't know you will come to know you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand after the offering bag passes you as we go back into worship?
Storm, louder and louder. Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Lord, we just ask right now that you would be in this place today. May your presence be here. And may, Lord, may our minds be focused on you. This morning we have some prayer requests. We want to continue to pray for Robert Smith. Give him strength in his body and help him. We want to pray for the multiple people on our list today who need healing. Continue to pray for Randy Brown as he's in the heart hospital a couple weeks ago, and it's still getting stronger and stronger. This morning, I want to ask you, do you have a need on your heart today? If you do, would you just raise your hand? There's hands all over the sanctuary. How many of you know the Lord knows your need? Here's the security that we live in, is that although prayer lists are great, and although prayer chains are wonderful too, right, Miss Glenna? Those things are all tremendous instruments of the church. The truth is, your need doesn't have to go on a list or in a prayer chain for God to already know it. God knows your need before you ever had it. And he really is just looking for surrender of that need to him. And so today, we've acknowledged the need with the raising of hands. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, not just for our service, but for these needs. And as we do it, let's do it in an act of surrender, saying, God, I acknowledge I have a need. You already know about my need. But today, maybe you haven't done this up to this point, but today I want to surrender that need to you. The word says that nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for God. He created the heavens and the earth. He created you and me. Nothing takes him by surprise. Nothing overpowers him. Nothing leaves him perplexed. God is a God of control, and he's in control of all things. And so this morning, would you go with me in prayer as we offer up our needs to God? Say, God, I'm not going to carry them anymore. I'm going to give them to you. And so, Lord, as an act of surrender today, all the hands that were lifted acknowledge they had a need. Today, we surrender that need to you. Lord, we give it to you because, God, in our hands, it's just a need. But in your hands, it's an opportunity for a miracle. It's an opportunity for you to move. It's an opportunity for a solution for that need to be met. And so, Lord, we don't hold it and say, no, it's my need and you can't touch it. No, God, today we hand it to you. We say, God, would you bring healing where healing needs to happen? Would you be restoration where restoration needs to be? Will you break chains that are binding people today? Lord, would you meet us where we're at in our financial crisis? Lord, would you bring our loved ones, our grandsons, our granddaughters, our niece, our nephews, our husbands, our wives, our children to the Lord? Lord, would you meet us here today as we surrender our needs to you? Lord, in this place, we open our hearts to you, and we present our needs to you. And Lord, we pray that your presence would be in this place today. You would challenge us. You would encourage us. Lord, you would move in and through us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everybody say amen. All right, turn around and greet someone this morning before you sit down. Worship team, come on up. Come on up. Missions team, not worship team. Yeah, give us just a second. This is a good problem to have. We have so many people on the missions team, we don't have chairs. And so, how many more we got? I think that'll do it. If you'll put one more down there, or they can, let's not hide behind the, you're good behind, yeah, I knew you would be. All right. Oh, you got set right next to me. It's tough. Now we're in the center. All right, how many we got here? 19. 19. Let's give a hand for that. Come on now. 19. This year's missions trip team to Denver was the largest one we've ever had from our church. We've had larger teams because we've combined with other churches, but this is the most. We had 22, so there's three not here. Daniel is not here. Briley is not here. Briley lives in Texas. And Max is not here. All right, so we're missing three, but 19 out of 22 is, listen, my faith wasn't that. I only put 16 chairs up here, so I need to work on my faith that you guys would all be here. And Peach won. Peach won by just a little bit, didn't they? There are more Peach shirts than green, right? One more? Man, I thought we were going to make a comeback. In Sunday school, it looks like we were going to get swept. I was the only one wearing a green, and I thought they were pulling a joke on me. But I thought, oh, y'all are real funny. Let's make Pastor Phil be the only one wearing the green shirt. But my peeps came through for me. So thank you, Asher. Extra ice cream for you. All right. That's what we do. We reward our youth with ice cream. Not because we love our youth, but because Pastor Phil loves ice cream. So awesome. Here's what we're gonna do. You got the mic all the way down there. That's awesome. And you gave Darren the mic. Ooh, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to assume that everybody knows who everybody is, all right? So they don't all know you out there. How many of you see a young person up here, you have no idea who they are? Be honest, raise your hand. Yeah. Yes, so all I need for you to do is tell us your name, how old you are, if you want. If you don't want to tell how old you are, you can lie. Yeah, you can do that. And then this is one time you can lie up on the stage. And then not you kids, you have to tell your real age. And then approximately how many mission trips you've been on now. All right, if you can figure that out. All right, start with Paige. Paige down there and we'll go here. All right.
Hi, my name is Paige. I'm 19 years old and this was my 12th mission trip.
Hi, my name is Darren. I am 22 and I believe this is my either 8 or 9. So far, I've lost count, basically.
I'm Maddie. I'm 14 years old, and this is my 5th missions trip.
I'm Trinity. I'm 18, and I think this is my 12th mission trip.
My name is Wyatt, and I am 17, and I have been on 3 mission trips.
Hi, my name's Addie. I am 13 years old, and this is my 2nd mission trip.
Hi, I'm Isabella. I'm 13, and this is my 4th missions trip.
I am Cabri. I am 13, and this is my 4th missions trip.
My name is Brayden. I am 16. I've been on 7 missions trips.
I'm Benjamin. I'm 20, about to turn 21. This is my 3rd missions trip.
Hi, I'm Asher. I'm 15, and this is my 3rd missions trip.
Pastor Phil, 44. Come on now. Yeah. And they're just clapping because they think they're getting ice cream. And I don't know, 20, 25 to 30. I don't know, it's over 25, I can tell you that.
My name's Fran. I'm 17, and this is my 3rd missions trip.
How do you pass that? I'm Melissa. I am 49, I won't lie. And this is my 6th mission trip.
I'm Lucas. I'm 27. This is my 12th mission trip.
I'm Kira, I'm 19, and this is my 10th mission trip.
I'm Tanya, I am 47, and this was my 7th mission trip.
I'm Elliot, I'm 19, and this is my 13th mission trip.
I'm Braylon, I'm 18, and this is my 12th mission trip.
So for those of you who don't know, we typically take 2 mission trips a year, one on spring break, typically is to Mission Arlington down in Arlington, Texas. And then we take one this summer. It has always been somewhere different, except the last 3 years we have gone to Denver. And so we can talk pretty intelligently about Denver because of having now spent 3 years there and getting to know the people and what they do. And so what we're going to do is gonna ask a few some questions. Just we're just going to do this for about maybe 15 minutes or so. But just want you to hear from the kids and hear from their hearts. And we'll let the adults talk too. Some of these kids, this is a big step for them to talk out in front of everybody. But they know that if you go on a mission trip, it is not optional, right? So... So I'm going to ask you some questions and we're going to go from there. Somebody talk about, or a few people talk about, maybe we've been 3 years to the Denver Dream Center. Maybe talk about the evolution or what has happened at the Denver Dream Center, like what it was like when we first to this year was drastically different, correct? And so maybe a couple of people talk about the differences that we've watched, we've got to be a part of because we've been there 3 years now. And, you know, whereas maybe a group that came in this year wouldn't, they would just assume this has always been this way. So who wants to take that? Come on, somebody talk about the differences.
Okay, so the very first time we went, they were working out of a community center. So they had a very small portion of it that was dedicated to the actual Dream Center. So they had the like a bottom floor and then a top floor that had their offices. And the bottom floor, it was very crowded. They had a very small like garage area that they kept all of their stuff in storage. And that was actually for the past 2 years, that's what they'd had. And then recently, they bought a big building which has a whole gym in it. It has a whole upper level. They have a lot of different offices and rooms in there. And they also have a different building just for storage, and it's really big. And they have plans to make it like have a cafe. They have plans to have a teaching center, like a
school,
like an educational system, and like a bunch of room just for storage. So they've really expanded in just their facilities. Anyone else want to talk more about it?
Anybody else? Sorry, I'll quit turn that on and off. Anybody else want to talk about how it's changed, the difference from the first 2 years to possibly this year? Who else?
The first year we went, it was coming out of the pandemic, so it was kind of like a smaller ministry, even though we knew that it was going to be able to reach lots of the community, but it was just opening back up, and last year we kind of saw it growing and reaching more and more people, and then this year, with their gym, their facilities and stuff, they've just been able to bring guys in and have like a gym night or do all these different things. They had concerts or whatever just to reach the community, and just it's grown like that since we've been there.
Somebody talk about the location. So before the location was in a residential area. It was not necessarily near the area in which they were wanting to meet the needs of. But where's the building now? Where's the building now? Somebody talk about that.
It's like it's walking distance from the Rockies Stadium now. It's like in the city, and it's really close to all the buildings, and it's a lot more. I don't know how to describe it. It's just you get to
before we were across from a Starbucks. Now what's out? What greeted us every day when we came into the building? What was it? Who was right out front? The homeless. Yeah. The need is on the sidewalk where the facility is at. is in the midst of the greatest part of the knee. It's in downtown. I have no idea how much this building is actually should be worth, and it's just the Lord's hand that they have this building, and just unbelievable capability. And they what they didn't tell you was not only is there a large building where basketball courts and offices and things like that, and places, a kitchen, and all those resources they didn't have before. They also have, there's a parking lot, and then next to that is another building that they're going to remodel that will have all kinds of educational center. And so they have two large buildings right there, I mean, in the middle of downtown. Like they said, we walked 3 minutes. It's 3 minutes, maybe 4 minutes from the gate of Colorado Rockies Stadium. I mean, it's right in the heart of town. I mean, heart of downtown. Unbelievable. All right, somebody talk about maybe some of the relationships we built in the past, you know, through the lake days and other things that maybe you got to see some of those people again, some of the people that work with Denver Dream Center, things like that. Who wants to take that? Everybody's being quiet on me today. Paige has got it.
So there was one little girl that went to most of the events we did last year. Her name was Radiance. And the first day we saw her this year, she was already like, I remember you guys. I remember all of you coming last year and the impact that you made. And so it was cool to get to hang out with her again and like just see where she's at now and how much she's grown just in the past year.
And the excitement when she spotted us, she goes, hey, I know you people, you know, and, you know, it's pretty neat when you minister to people and then you realize the lasting effect, you know, because, you know, a whole year has gone by and yet you could tell immediately, you know, that she remembered that we had come, that we had visited with her, we'd loved on her, that we had been a part of her life. And for me, when she first did that, her countenance even changed. She was there hanging out, but it was like, oh, it's the people from Oklahoma, you know. And so we do an event called a Lake Day where we take the kids, many of them who don't get more than just a small distance from their front door within the Denver Housing Authority, which is where most of the ministry that we do happens. And they take these young people to the lake up in the mountain on the, what's that place called, Chad? Chatwood Preserve. It's unbelievable. This you're swimming in this lake, and you know it's just mountains. You're surrounded by mountains. It's beautiful. It feels like they just melted snowmen, but that's okay. The water's a little frozen. It was snow yesterday. It's the lake today. But we take these young people and just have a day where we can just love on them, where they can see normal interaction, they can see, just have a day. We eat lunch with them and just play with them and hang out with them, and it's fun. It's fun, just being a part of their life. We also do some ministry within the Denver Housing Authority, and I'm going to be talking, giving you a couple statistics during my message about that. But we go to there's three main housing authority. Projects that we go to: Westwood, West Ridge, and Quigg. And so we were at Westwood, which is the one that they're still working on trying to get in more and do more stuff in. And we were just doing a little water day type deal, and hanging out with the kids and inviting kids to come out and play with us and do all that. Trinity, will you tell the story about the young lady? I know. Wasn't it you? Who was it that got the young lady to come over? Who was that? Oh, was it Kira? All right, Kira. All right. All right, everybody take some credit for it. All right, somebody tell me the story about it. All right.
Okay, so there's this little girl, and she has a skateboard, so she's too cool for everyone else.
She's just doing her own thing. She's kind of watching us because we were having like music playing. We had some of her other friends there. I think they were friends. They were in the same neighborhood. But we had like popsicles and stuff. We're trying to hand it out to her. She did not want a popsicle. She did not want to talk to us. Isabella went over to her for a little bit and tried to talk to her. And she's kind of getting into it. And then she kind of like retreated again. And so we went to this, they had a little playground over there. So I went, because I was taking pictures, because me and Darren were back and forth taking pictures. So I was taking some pictures just of us, like, going around. And this other little girl was like, oh, my gosh, can I take pictures? And I was like, sure. So I did. And then she was like, well, can I take pictures? And I was like, yeah. And then she looked at me, and she was like, hey, I need, like, ice. And I was like, you need ice? And she said, yeah, I need ice. I'm like, well, we don't got ice. We got flavored ice. It's a popsicle. Do you want it? And she's like, yeah, sure. So I walked her over to the place. I gave her a popsicle, and she put it on her knee. And I was like, do you want one to eat? And she was like, yeah. And so I gave her one. She kept trying to choose a different color each time to make, I think it was Braylon or something, picking it out of the pot. She just wasn't taking the one that he got out. But after that, she was just like totally in it, totally wanted to hang out with us. But it took a little while to coax her out of her little cool, too cool for school mode.
Miriam.
Yeah, her name's Miriam.
Somebody talk about when we did the big water day, giant water day at Westridge. We did it at the park there. And talk about the other group that we got to hang out with that came in to do all the, we broke up into to three different, those three different areas and did water days. We went to Westridge and but somebody talk about the other group that came and what all we got to do at that event. Somebody maybe hasn't talked. From were they Prestonwood? I think it was from Prestonwood Baptist. In Dallas, yep. Who else wants to share? You guys are all being so quiet on me today. Well, did y'all go on the trip with me, or was it just me? Maybe I just envisioned that I went on the, maybe I just did this trip by myself and I didn't know it. All right, come on, somebody talk. All my talkers have already talked.
All right, so for the group that I was with, which, who was, wait, I was with you. Which one were we in?
We all went to Westwood for the big water day.
Oh, you're talking about, no, we split up for that one.
Christmas in July.
Yeah, we did Christmas in July.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Are we talking about the Christmas or
well,
the
it's
water?
A water day. It was, we had... No slip and slide and all that. That wasn't.
We split up. That was the snowball fight day.
All right, well, tell me what we did, all right? Apparently, I don't know what we did. I wonder why they're all looking at me. Just talk about the day that Prestonwood was there. Whatever we did, talk about it. That was Saturday when we did the, you're right. Okay, whatever. Just talk about it. Sheesh. Nobody?
Go on, Darren. You started
Christmas in July. All right, yes. So for the Christmas in July one, we were basically had to, before Phil and the others had a giant time in the gigantic park thing, which I forgot what it was. We basically hit on with the kids who were mostly in the apartments or around. And so then we just basically hang out with them, talk with them, communicate, all that. Got their names, everything, so we can communicate with them. Ask what they do, what do they do, basically, what they spend their time with. Me, I was honestly working with the grill.
Cooking hot dogs.
Surprisingly, first time I did not burn my hand or the hot dogs. Big accomplishments. All right, so for that, and also for the snowball fight, which what we did was... Flower and pantyhose, women's pantyhose. We just tied it up, and the kids are thinking like they're snowballs all going around.
We fill them up with what?
Flour.
With flour, right.
Flour, yes. We fill them up with flour.
Right.
Kids love to throw snowballs at them or just rip them, and Benjamin tried to go after Professor Phil with one of them, get revenge, apparently.
That's true.
Yeah, all that. And after all that, we just mostly ate hot dogs, watermelon. That was just chill down, have fun with the kids.
Yeah. So we had a group from Prestonwood. I'm just going to tell because nobody will talk about them. Apparently, we didn't like them. I thought we liked them. And there was a group of 350 youth from Prestonwood Baptist Church in Dallas. They came. They were on a choir tour and came in one day to work with us. They worked in the morning and then went in the afternoon and did shows at different places around Colorado Springs and Denver area. And so they split them into three. We had about 100 of them with us hanging out. And like Darren said, we had a huge snowball fight, which is a mess. And it's okay. But we did have a water day. What day was that then?
I was like, we separated.
Did we do that by ourselves?
No. We had a whole
There was another group with us, though. Who was those people?
They were just random.
Oh, Missouri. Missouri. Okay.
We had Nebraska with us.
Really? Is that right? Are we on the same trip together?
They split us up a lot.
Okay. Well, okay. All right. So on Wednesday, we went to the park and those that were in my group, talk about what we had at the park that day for the water day. What was all the things that we did?
We had this, like, slip and slide thing where it was, like, slip and slide kickball where it was four just big tarps in the shape of, like, a diamond. And then there were four kiddie pools for the bases, and they were all filled with water, and it was all, like, it was all slick with soap and stuff like that. And so it was a fun version of kickball. We had bubbles, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, we had bubbles.
Giant volleyball.
Yep. Oh, yeah, we had water balloons, too, which
obstacle course.
Yeah. Yeah, that
we had
too.
An obstacle course. We had a bunch of different water activities. That day we looked out there, and I don't know how many people were out there. They were coming out of the woodwork. There were people everywhere. What else did we have? Am I forgetting something else that we had?
We had, like, we had badminton. We had soccer, like blow-up inflatable soccer.
We had hot dogs all the time.
Mm-hmm. There was a basketball court, a splash pad.
Yep.
There was a big playground that some kids played on. What else?
But here was the crazy part about this outreach. This is the reason I was trying to all this work to get to this point right here is this. There's zero water access in this park. Zero. And so about a half a block to a block away was a community center that allowed us to fill up buckets, 5-gallon buckets of water. If you've ever tried to do slip and slide and water balloons and an obstacle course, if you've ever tried to do a water day for hundreds of people, 5-gallon buckets of water at a time, you haven't lived. I'm just telling you right now. We just had, it looked like little, our people were just like little ants. They'd just go and then they'd come back with water and we'd use it and they'd go back. And just for 2 or 3 hours, we just had people going down the block to get water, come back with the water, come back, go back to get water, come back. It was amazing. All right, let's finish this way. Everybody, each person has to say what was their favorite part of the trip. Favorite part of the trip, and we'll close out with that. Paige is going to go first, which actually is better because somebody may take your answer. All right.
Well, I was going to say the fun day, but obviously, I mean, that was packed full. My favorite part would probably be making connections with the people that work at the Dream Center. You know, you go on a mission trip and expect to make connections with those that you're serving. But something that I've made it a point to do is to really connect with those that are serving and kind of make those connections within the ministry world and those that have the same mindset. That now I have people that go to college in Minnesota that I've talked to them about interning here in Oklahoma, and now they want to come down here and they want to serve in Oklahoma next year. So it's cool to have those connections and make those connections across the country.
My favorite part would be taking pictures of the events and everything we did, the connections we made and everything for that type of reason.
6 million pictures.
Yes.
I said, Darren, quit taking pictures of me.
So my favorite part had to be the first day when we got up at like 5 a.m. and, well, I did personally. because we had to be at this place called Red Rocks Amphitheater at 7 a.m. And this was, it was like an hour out, wasn't it?
About 30 minutes.
30 minutes out. Mm-hmm. But I just really liked it because the air was really fresh there. And it was an outdoor amphitheater. And it was, everything was like so pretty and natural looking. And I don't know, that was my favorite part. Just getting to like talk with people that were on the missions trip before we actually got to serve. So I think that was my favorite part.
Okay. My favorite part was connecting with guys who were getting out of the halfway house. So they were getting out of prison, and just talking to them. I played pool with one of them, and before we were playing pool, he didn't really seem interested in playing anything. He was kind of standing back and not really talking to anyone. So I asked him if he wanted to play basketball. He said no. So we went. We played pool instead, and he seemed a lot more open to talk to me after that, and it was just really cool getting to know him and talk about stuff with him.
I have to say my favorite part about the trip is the people we were able to ministry, and we were, since we were doing all these things with them, and they just were so encouraged that we were there.
My favorite part was also the halfway houses, but I liked playing basketball with them because, like, everyone's, like, so excited to play, and, like, they don't get to do that stuff normally. And so just playing with them and having different teams and stuff, it was nice, like, connecting with them.
Mine would probably be Christmas in July, just seeing everybody so happy, like, the joy on the kids and the helpers. It was amazing.
My favorite day was probably Lake Day or the halfway houses, because Lake Day we did all sorts of stuff with the kids, and like we got to talk to them and make really good connections. And then halfway houses, because I got to play one of my favorite sports with the guys, and like they don't get to do that a lot, so it was fun.
My favorite thing was being a roadie, helping pack up a whole stage and everything. It was really fun. Disciple concert.
My day was going tubing with Phil.
We survived.
My favorite part about the trip is seeing that I was able to make an impact and to be able to influence people, and that the work that I did actually helps.
My favorite part of the trip is always just watching the kids learn and serve and have an opportunity to broaden their boundaries and horizons and learn new things and challenge themselves. And doesn't matter how many mission trips you go on, there's always something different, somebody new that you encounter who's going to challenge you to stretch yourself.
My favorite part was Wednesday night. We had kind of a youth service, and we played
Capture the Flag
football game, which was very strange.
And my best friend was there with me. Yeah. We were hanging out.
Yeah, and we got to meet a Denver Bronco football player. He was there all evening playing with the kids.
And Bradley Chubb, all pro linebacker. He and I are besties.
Bill was fanboying.
Yeah. But it was fun to play with the older kids and have that kind of service with them.
Man, to pick one favorite part would be hard. Of course, as an adult sponsor, it's great to see the kids get out of their comfort zones. Max isn't here, so I'll just brag on him for a minute. Max, I was a little worried about coming because he's kind of to himself, but man, he put himself out there. He was never afraid to go out with the kids and play, and he was interacting with people, so he did a great job, so that's always fun. But for me, one of the big things that I love is we met Danny the first year we were there, and Danny was he was in the halfway house. Was he in the halfway house at that point, or was he already out? I think he was in the halfway house the first year. But now he's actually on staff. To see that transition and to see what he's like now, and Addie and I had a conversation in the van about him. She had no idea his story, so I told her his story when we were driving down the road, so she was really really amazed by that. For me, that's cool. Just to see the 3-year transition of how Danny has came through that program and is now serving on staff.
We went on a hike on Friday, and it was a zigzaggy trip. Which, hey, we made it to the top.
My favorite thing was just carrying around a camera around with the kids, because they always were like, oh my gosh, you have a camera, take my picture. I was like, yeah, okay. So I did, and they were really happy about it. And like I said, the very first day, some of the kids actually took my camera, and, well, it's Darren's camera. Thank you, Darren.
Sorry, Darren.
Yeah, sorry. but they actually were taking pictures, so in the slideshow, you'll actually see pictures that they took, too, so it's kind of cool.
I'm going to kind of reiterate what the other adults said. Watching these kids grow, and this being the 5th year that we've been on a summer missions trip with them, you now have all these older ones that have stepped up as leaders and guiding the youngers, and that's awesome. And then, but when you get to sites and they've done this before, they're like, oh, we need to set this up. We need to do this. We need to do this. And I feel so sorry for the Denver interns this year, because they have not been there very long. They have not done any of these things that we do. And our kids were just like, no, that's not how we do this. So they took charge. They made things happen. And they all do it graciously, and just so they can show God's love to people. And it's pretty awesome to watch them grow.
My favorite thing from this trip this year was, I've done this previously in past years, where they'll, like, have us, like, step aside, and we'll, like, write letters to prisoners. And I just, this year, I got voluntold to do it, and I was like, oh, dang it, I hate doing this, it's the worst. But by the time I started writing, I was like, you know, this is going to touch one of these prisoners' lives. They don't get much mail, and so if I can be a light in the darkness that they're in right now, then it's the best I could do.
Wow, I have to follow that up. Okay. My favorite thing was playing basketball with the Halfway House guys, making a connection with them. Made a connection with this guy named Reese. He's really cool. But I would just like to add that me, my dad, Cabri, and Max are the only people that are undefeated in this line at basketball. So
they picked the teams for basketball. They split us up with some of us and some of the guys from the Halfway House. And immediately, the rest of the team was protesting because Brayla and I were on the same team. Winner stayed on the whole time. So by the end, the Halfway House guys were teaming up. They said, okay, they were kicking kids off of their team and trying to get all of them on one team so they could beat us off the court. But didn't happen. So let's give them all a hand. We're going to watch a slideshow. All right. that. We'll watch it at the end. Elliot's going to catch my grab my pulpit here real quick, and I want to share with you some thoughts. And at the very end, we'll watch the slideshow, hopefully, because we do want you to see the pictures. Darren will be devastated if however many pictures are in there of his 6 million he took, are not seen. Are we ready now? You feel good? All right. Try it again. They're still working, so we will. Hey, listen, number one rule of mission trip is be flexible. That's right, be flexible. So that's what we're going to be today. We're going to be flexible and move forward. All right, well, I want to share with you a few thoughts this morning and a message that I've titled Being Present. Being Present. How many of you know that the basic requirement for work is that you have to show up? Kelvin, can you put that picture up for me? I know you're working on this video, but maybe not. Yeah, so I was looking at Facebook one day, and a friend of mine posted this on Facebook. It says, now hiring people that show up. Now hiring people that show up. That's about where we're at in society today, aren't we? We're at the point where stores are closing early because they can't cover all the shifts. There's long waits to be seated, not because there's no empty tables, because there's no waiters to wait on those tables. Companies are giving incentives or even bonuses just for showing up and working. If you'll just show up, I'll give you a bonus. You stick it out for 60 days, I'll give you a bonus. If you'll just come in and fill out a resume and we hire you, we'll give you a bonus just to start. That's the world we're living in today. It doesn't matter how much you know about the job or how long you've been doing the job. If you don't show up, it's impossible to get the job done. You can be as knowledgeable as you want to be about what your career is or what you do, but if you don't show up to do the job, then it's useless. And the basic requirement for work is to just show up, to be present. And the same principle is true when it comes to the work of the kingdom. If the gospel is going to be spread, if needs are going to be met, if our city is going to be saved, if the bound are going to be delivered, if the sick are going to be healed, if families are going to be put back together, if marriages are going to be restored, if the work of the Lord is going to be done, we must show up. The Bible says it this way in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 through 38. It says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. The ESV translation says of verse 38, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. One of the greatest struggles the church has today is simply being present. Just showing up. One of the biggest struggles we have today is just being present. And so this morning I want to challenge you for just a couple of minutes, three areas in which we need to be present. And the first one is this, the journey. We must be present in the journey. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever traveled 12 or 13 hours in a church van with a bunch of teenagers, But that's a journey, my friends. That is a journey. It is not for the faint of heart. It takes strategic planning to go on a 700-mile trip with teenagers. If you don't believe me, try to do it without planning. See how that works for you. After 20 years plus years of youth ministry, I know that every long-distance trip has a certain rhythm to it. If I'm going to take the youth, here's the rhythm. I'm going to let you in on the secrets. You ready? Bathroom, meal, gas and snacks, bathroom, meal. Just repeat that until you arrive at your destination. Stop for the bathroom. Stop for a meal. Stop for gas and snacks. Stop to the bathroom. Stop for a meal. You just repeat that over and over again until you're finally there. And that is kind of the rhythm to the journey. How many know it's easy to get comfortable with the journey that God has placed you on? It's easy to say, you know what, I've been doing this thing with Jesus for a long time. I've known the Lord for 20 years or 30 years. I've known the Lord for 40 years. I already got this planned out. I know the rhythm of how this works. I know how to navigate this journey. The same time for service. I know what time service is. I know what seat I sit in. I know the people that I greet. I know that the Sunday school class that I go to. I know which week is my turn to be a greeter. And I know which week is my turn to be an usher. And I know my week. And we get into this strategic rotation of the journey that we live. And yet, if we're not careful, If it becomes so easy and comfortable with the journey that God's placed us on, that we begin to miss opportunities around us. We get into the cycle of the journey. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says this, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I'm going to be honest with you. I am so guilty, so guilty. I'm confessing today. I'm so guilty of worrying about what's next that I miss what there is to do right now. Again, on the missions trip, and be honest with you, my mind, as I said today, my favorite part of the trip is watching the young people be able to serve and be able to grow. And so it's not that I don't serve. It's not that I don't carry things. It's not that I don't talk to people. It's not that I don't participate. But in my mind, the role is to make sure that everything is in place, that every obstacle as best as I can to be can be removed so that the young people and the people in the team can minister in the most effective way. And when you begin to get in that mindset, sometimes I get to the point where I'm, what's next? I've moved all the obstacles, I've presented the opportunity, and we're in the midst of serving, and I should be embracing the serving part of and all the opportunities that are around us, but I may instead be thinking about, okay, what's for lunch? Or do we need to get gas in the vans? Or, do we have enough water in the jug so that the kids can fill their water bottles so that your parents don't get mad at me when they dehydrate? Let me tell you something. Side note, if your kid ever gets dehydrated on a missions trip, then your kid is a disobedient child, all right? Because I provide more water than you could ever believe. I have jugs and jugs and jugs of water, and I say it all the time. Fill up your water bottle. Fill up your water bottle. Have you been drinking water? Have you been drinking water? The kids now, if they come to me and they say they're not feeling good or something's going on, they usually start with this. Pastor Phil, I've been drinking water, but I just wanted you to know. They just get past it because they know that if they tell me they're not feeling good, the first thing I'm going to ask them is, have you been drinking water? I'm guilty, though, of looking at what's next and missing what is right now. The Bible describes the journey that we're on not as a sprint, correct? That the Apostle Paul talked about, it's not a sprint, but it's a marathon. Anybody ever ran a marathon before? Listen, it's tiring. It's tiring. It's a long, long journey. It's not over quickly. All right. And on this journey, God needs us to be present, not just in body and not just warming a chair, but be present in mind and in heart and in spirit. We need to be there. Have you ever been somewhere, but you weren't really there? Come on. Everybody's been to a family reunion. Let's go. All right. Everybody's been to the in-laws. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. I get in trouble every time with the in-wall joke. Have you ever been somewhere, maybe some work obligation, something that your husband or wife drug you to, and you're there in body, but you're not really there? You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about today. As with a mission trip, the goal of the journey isn't just to get there. Well, the goal of the journey wasn't, hey, first one to touch the mountain wins, right? We didn't race to Denver so we could touch the mountain and run back. The goal of the journey isn't just to get there and then serve and to get home. The goal is to be present in all that God has for us. So that's my challenge today is that in all that we do, the journey that God has for us, would you be present, not just in body, but in heart and in mind and what God is asking of you? The second area is this. Can we be present in the story? You know, one of the major things that we do on a mission trip is we try to meet the physical needs around us. Have you ever really tried to meet the physical needs of the community around you? It can be very overwhelming. It can be super overwhelming. Because if I'm honest with you, the need is greater than the resources. Statistics straight from the Denver Dream Center tells us, I named you three housing authorities that we work in every year. There's Westwood, Westridge, and Quigg. Westridge and Quigg are the two main ones. Westwood they're working on. But let me give you some statistics, and I think I've told you this before, but in Westridge, there's 192 units in Westridge. Of those 192 units, 179 of them have a single parent. That means only 13 units in the entire housing authority do the kids in that unit have both parents. Westridge has 300 kids under the age of 17. Quigg has 380 units, and in those 380 units, there are 800 kids under the age of 17. The sheer lack of food, clothing, furniture, shoes, you name it, can be stifling. These kids are living in poverty. Poverty. And the physical need can be so overwhelming because as many chips and milk and clothing and whatever else we can bring, we can cook as many hot dogs as we can find. And boy, did we try. We tried. We cooked a lot of hot dogs this last week or 2 weeks ago. We can do all that, and yet the need is always probably going to be greater than the resources that we have. It's funny because when they challenge our team to pass out flyers for a coming event or to hand out food door to door, our team is always excited to do one thing, and that is this, to see how fast and efficient we can get it done. We were going to pass out flyers, I think it was at Quigg one day, or maybe it was at West, we split up, and we told the intern, we said, well, she said, okay, we're going to go out here, we've got about an hour to get this done. We said, we can do it in 20 minutes. She said, you cannot do this in 20 minutes. It's not. I said, we can do it in 18 minutes. We did it in 18 minutes. 18 minutes, we passed out. She said, you had to have skipped buildings. I said, we didn't skip buildings, I promise. And she's looking around. She goes, you got every door. I said, every door, 18 minutes. There's an urgency to meet the physical need and to get people what they need. And yet every person, here's what you need to understand. Every person in the Denver Housing Authority units have physical needs. Every one of them. I've never met one that we went up and said, you know what, I've got everything I could possibly need. Every person we come encounter with has some physical need. But they also, every person we come in contact with, they also have a story. Every person. And the irony is that their needs are created and explained inside of their story. So the challenge is not to be present just in the need, but to be present in the story. So I felt a sense or a challenge from the Lord to slow down just a little bit and to get into people's stories. And so I've changed some names of some people and things of that nature, but the facts still remain the same. We were at Westridge, and I met a little girl named Olivia, and she was there with her mom. And they were kind of standing off. They got a popsicle once again, but they were kind of standing off, and so I just sat down next to them, off on the edge, and we just began to talk. And she began to tell me about her other kids and the struggles that they've had, and we just began to talk about her story. At first, the details came out slowly, but as I began to be more present to hear the story, the details began to come out faster and faster and faster. And I'm not going to tell you all the details of her story, but I am going to tell you about the conclusion of the conversation. We probably sat there 30 to 45 minutes eating those little otter pops or whatever those things are. Those things are gross, but it was so hot, and so I ate about four of them. Don't judge me. So we're eating these little otter pops, and we're talking, and she's sharing me with her, sharing, and we get done with the conversation, and she says, "Thanks for listening to me about what's happening in my life." I said, "Well, that's not a problem. It's not a problem." And she said, "It's hard to find anybody who really cares about you. Most people just want to throw things at your need." And I said, "Well, I tell you this, not only do I care about you and your story, but so does Jesus." Learn more about a story from a guy named Carlos, changed his name, Carlos. He was part of the Halfway House guys that came over to play basketball. He did not play. He kind of hung out around the side, and we sat down to eat. They had encouraged us, when you eat with the guys. Don't just go off and you eat here and they eat there. So we were sitting across. He was sitting on the couch. I was leaning against the wall. I began to have a conversation and ask him about his story. Carlos had just, within the last 2 months, gotten out of prison after a 37-year sentence. He was 20 years old when he went in. And he told me that this month or next month he was going to turn 58. He was telling me about some of the struggles of just getting out of prison and all the things that had changed. He goes, "I just learned in the last week before I left prison how to use a laptop. I got a crash course." He goes, "It's a lot to learn." He was amazed. He was amazed that you could order McDonald's from your table. He said, "Did you know you could go into McDonald's and sit at your table and you can order it from right there and they will bring it to you? You don't even have to go to the counter." I said, "Yeah, I did know that." He goes, "Man, that's crazy." But the thing that he conveyed to me was this. He said, "You know, the Denver Dream Center and being able to come over here and hang out and to eat lunch and things like that has helped me to understand that I've not forgotten, and that I matter." Isn't that where we need to be? Is be present in people's lives to help them to understand that their story matters. That their story matters no matter what is happening. And there's Matt. Matt had just gotten out of prison this past year. He interns at the Denver Dream Center to stay out of trouble. He rides an electric scooter from his halfway house to the Denver Dream Center. He says he has to hide the scooter because it's one of those ones that you can, you know, rent on the sidewalk. And so he tries to hide it so that nobody takes it before the end of the day. Otherwise, he says, "I have to go find one to get back to the halfway house." I was like, "Well, how far is the halfway house?" He goes, "Oh, it's about a quarter of a mile." kills me. But here's the truth. Here's where Matt's at. His story is this, is that after being in prison these years, he said, "I'm about to be released from the halfway house, and I don't really have any idea where I'm going to live. I'm excited about having my freedom, and I'm excited about doing, you know, and being a productive member of society." But he says, "The truth be told," he goes, "before I went into prison, I lived with my mom. My mom passed away last year, and I don't know where I'm going to go." Everyone has a story. Everyone has a story. We're very familiar. I'm not going to read all the verses because of time, but everybody's familiar with the story in John chapter 4 of the woman at the well. We know that she came to the well for water, but Jesus made himself present in her story. And because of that, the scripture says that she will never thirst again. Jesus didn't just ask for water. He wasn't just there saying, hey, you're going to, but he knew her story. He took time to talk to her about her story. We skip down in verse 27. It says that the disciples come back and they notice that Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman. And they're surprised, but no one, the Bible says, no one dared ask or question about it. They didn't question Jesus about. But by verse 31, they had already forgotten the story of the woman. They'd already forgotten the story of the woman. They were back to this concern, the concern of the physical needs. In verse 31, the disciples asked Jesus, or tell him really, Rabbi, you need to eat something. You need to eat something. In the following verses, Jesus responds by basically saying this, I don't have time to eat. I'm too busy being present. We must place a priority on the story of people over just the needs of people. The needs will always be present and they must be looked after. But can I challenge you, my friends, that the story is eternal and it requires our presence. Can we be present not just in the journey God has for us, but in the stories that are around us? And the last one I want to challenge you with is the mission. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says this, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. There's a story about a guy named Christopher Searcy who was playing basketball with his friends on May 16, 1998, when he was shot in the chest and a bullet perforated his aorta. His friends helped him to within 40 feet of the entrance to Ravenswood Hospital. And then they went inside to ask for help. The hospital staff refused to help Chris, saying that it was against the hospital's policies to administer aid to those that were outside the hospital. Eventually, a policeman was able to get a wheelchair, and they wheeled Chris into the hospital where he was helped by staff then because he was in the building, but it was too late. And Chris died about an hour later. Many times it seems that churches are surrounded by people desperate to hear the gospel. Yet Christians are content to only share it with those who manage to make it inside the building. The scripture says, into all the world. Everybody say, all the world. Come on, stay with me. May these words resonate in your heart today. The mission is simple. Preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus. The mission may take you to Denver, or it may take you to overseas, or it may take you next door to your neighbor. It is just as likely to have you standing at an aisle in Super C or Walmart as it is to have you standing on the doorstep in Denver. The mission may take you to a family member's house, or to a friend's job, or to a stranger's front porch. But that's the thing. The mission has no real boundaries and really only has one requirement. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15 says it this way, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. We must not just be present in our journey. We must not just be present in people's stories. But we must be present in the mission that God has for all of us, to preach the gospel into all the world. I close with this thought, and I'm going to pray for you. Will you put that picture back up? now hiring people that show up. Jesus is hiring. Jesus is hiring, but he needs people who will show up. Let's show up for and be present in the journey that he has for you. Be present in the story of those around you. And be present in the mission that he gave all of us. I close with this thought. Probably the most famous verse in Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17 says, "For God sent his Son into this world." For God sent his Son to this world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Here's what Jesus mirrored for us, is that it wasn't just enough to see the needs of mankind. Jesus understood he needed to be present. Jesus understood that he needed to be present. It's about time that we as the church don't just talk about needs and think about what needs to happen, but to show up and be present in what God has for us to do. Would you bow your heads this morning? Lord, I thank you so much for every young person here and every adult here. I thank you for every parent and grandparent and friend. I thank you so much, God, that you have challenged us today. I thank you, Lord, for this missions team. May we never, ever, ever stop having a missions heart, sending missionaries and going ourselves. May, God, we be present in what you have for us, present in our journey, present in other people's stories, and present in the mission. May we not just talk about it, may we be about it. And Lord, we thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Is the slideshow ready? Maybe. We're going to try. We're going to try. If not, we'll do it again next week. It's on the back, not on the front. All right, we'll work on it. It'll be all the reason for you to come next Sunday. I love you. Be blessed. Love Jesus. Tell people about Jesus and be present. Have a great day.